How come if Jesus Christ is our all in all and heaven is our home, that we sometimes get belly aches because we're under stress, or worse than that, maybe even ulcers? How come sometimes some of us get stress headaches, or even worse than that, migraines? Or how come sometimes some of us become depressed? And how come sometimes some of us become forlorn? And how come, and how come, and how come? I'd like you to turn to the book of Philippians, the 4th chapter. I'd like just to read verses 5, 6, and 7 with you for the moment, at least. As Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, the members of that church, as did all of the members of the New Testament churches of the first century, and the situation hasn't changed much and continued even to this day. They needed instruction, and we need instruction. And so he gave them, not only did he give them doctrinal instruction, without which there would be no lamp at all on our pathway to follow, but he gave them practical instruction in perfect harmony with the doctrinal instruction that he'd given them. And he said to them, among other things, let your moderation — incidentally, that probably a better translation, a better interpretation of that sentence would be let your gentleness be known, or have your gentleness known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Our Holy Father and our God in heaven, we thank you again for the occasion of our gathering together in this, your church, and pray that as your church, the body of Christ, has gathered here, you will dwell in the midst of her, and your Spirit would instruct our hearts and our minds to teach us how they ought to be kept. And I would ask that there would be very great benefit for your people gathered here, that as your word is laid open before each one of us, that by the power and might of thy Spirit you would give to us a great measure of faith to apprehend your word, to take it into our very beings, so that it might be used to light our lives each step along our pathway as we take our pilgrim journey through this world. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Text begins by saying, let your moderation or gentleness — but if you have a problem with that translation, just leave it to moderation. That's okay. It'll work out the same way for the purposes of our discussion this evening. It says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. I would like to lay down a proposition for you. For every action that is immoderate or ungentle in our lives, there will be an attendant stress. Now, let me put it to you differently. Let's say that one is very exceedingly ambitious in the workplace. Not ambitious in that he wants to be to work at work on time and do his job correctly and properly, be a diligent workman. But ambitious to succeed above his peers. And let's say that that ambition consumes him, that that's a driving force in his life. That is an act of immoderation and therefore a lack of gentleness in his life's goal, and he will pay for that with some manifestation of stress. Now, the Bible doesn't use the word stress as it applies to the human psyche or the human spirit or human behavior. But it uses other words which mean the same thing. Because our text goes on to say something about the peace of God, which is hard or difficult or in fact is beyond understanding, shall keep your heart and your mind. So, here's the formula. Be gentle. And in your gentleness, you will learn then. Once you've become a gentle person or a moderate person, you will learn then to kill anxiety. That's what the next verse says. Be careful for nothing. Anxiety almost always translates into what we call worry. Now, worry can take many forms. It can take the form of nail biting, wondering how the outcome of something is, or what the outcome of something is going to be. That's worry. That's anxiety. It can take the form of pushing very hard, hoping to achieve one's goal, and being very anxious about the outcome. That's also worry. These all translate into stress. And stress translates into stomach aches, stomach ulcers, stress headaches, tension headaches, migraine headaches. Translates into depression. Translates into open anxiety. Translates into a lot of things. Now, I remember some years ago, there was a man that I knew fairly well, not real well like I know you, but fairly well, who had a chronic stomach ulcer. He believed in the sovereignty of God, just as we do. I remember once someone coming right up to him at a Bible conference and just saying to him, "Brother so-and-so, if you believe in the sovereignty of God, how come you have a stomach ulcer?" And he got all flustered and didn't know what to say. And finally he said, "Well, what does my stomach ulcer have to do with believing in the sovereignty of God?" And the man said, "Well, nothing, if all you do is believe in the sovereignty of God. But if you trust in the sovereignty of God, it has everything to do with your stomach ulcer." I understood what he was saying. Bible says something else. The Bible's always giving us these paradoxical teaching expressions. It says, not contradictory, they're paradoxical. He said, the Bible says, "I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing." Which means that our flesh produces all kinds of things which are adverse and undesirable, including stomach aches, stomach ulcers, tension headaches, stress headaches, migraine headaches, anxiety, depression, worry, all of those things. None of those things are good things. You agree with that? So it says, "I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing." But the paradoxical expression to that, the antithesis expression to that teaching to that is, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." They're both accurate truths about life and about our lives in Christ. They're both accurate. I would like to suggest to you that while the flesh is manifesting itself, there is very little of an exhibition of Christ strengthening oneself. Our text simply says, be moderate, that is, be gentle. You can't be without anxiety until first you become that. You will never, never, never conquer worry or fear or stress or the manifestations of stress that turn out to be usually physical symptoms, not always emotional symptoms, whatever. You won't conquer any of those things until first you learn to be gentle and practice it and be it. I haven't met too many truly, truly gentle people in my life. I know a few. And they have problems, too. Usually many of their problems occur because of their gentleness. You know, the world is very quick to take advantage of a gentle Christian spirit. Very quick to do that. Unbelievers are very quick to take advantage of a gentle Christian spirit. And some believers are, too. So they have problems. But a truly gentle person with a gentle spirit in Christ, in spite of the problems that surround him, usually can be pointed to as an island of serenity in the midst of turbulence. And I really do believe that insofar as life is concerned, the great prize, Paul talks a little earlier to the Philippians about striving toward the prize of the mark of his high calling. He says, "No, I haven't already attained that. It's not that as though I've attained it, but I strive to attain it, which is perfection, of course. And perfection is, truly, perfection in this life would be so that life, the things of life, while they touch us, don't ruin us. That would be perfection as far as this world is concerned." While I was thinking about this, my mind took me back to a psalm. It's a famous psalm, and one of my favorites, too. It's the 91st. I want you to turn to it because it's a psalm of condolence and of peace. It's a psalm of confidence and of faith. It's a psalm which makes a statement about who God is and what he does for his people. It's a psalm, really, that tells us what we have available to us because we are in Christ Jesus. It's a psalm that says to us we have an amazing reserve of benefits to meet every point of stress which may enter our life. Amazing reserve of it. And yet, generally speaking, our lives demonstrate that we don't draw upon that reserve very often. It takes faith to do it. And the exercise of faith is something which somehow comes under attack every day, often. Now, I'll remind you again, especially, I don't know about everyone, but I know about some of us, and I will remind some of us that when a problem comes along in our life, a business problem, a family problem, a church problem, a personal problem, a friend problem, first reaction is to try to solve it. What can I do to solve the problem? That shouldn't be our first reaction at all. Absolutely should not be. Not only is our first reaction, our first action as well. That just should not be the case. Ever. Ever. We as believers in Christ Jesus should be so spiritually conditioned that when our peace comes under attack, and that's what happens every time we have a problem, our peace comes under attack. We should go to the source of our power to overcome immediately, and not to our own power, which is so frail and insignificant and puny anyway, that all we'll wind up getting from it is a headache or a stomach ache or depression or anxiety. So here is a description of our power. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Boy, is that a description of today. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh to thee. Only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion, and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Is that an account to draw from? Mm-hmm. Think about it. Tomorrow, when the problem comes and the stomach knots up, mm-hmm. Think about this. Think about him. Better than think about him, go to him. Mm-hmm. He shall keep your mind in perfect peace, so long as it is fixed